WSDB Philadelphia, 860 AM.
The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
And I'm from the part of the city that they don't be talking about. Hey, Austin, my grandmama house. Hey, madhouse on Madison, middle school graduate, could have been trafficking, but I would rather do better than my uncle had in my head to the sky like a Jesse White backflip. Yeah, hey, West Side sign go crazy. West Side sign go crazy. West Side sign go crazy. Oh, and I'm from the part of the city that they don't be talking about. Austin, my grandmama house. Madhouse on Madison, middle school graduate, could have been trafficking, but I would rather do better than my uncle had in my head to the sky like a Jesse White backflip. Step on the pallet, promise my mama I'll turn it to palace. My granny house is Viper Wallace and Scavage. Corner below and behold what is below zero, and you watch up a spray in the corner. And now I no longer ignore him. Used to move daily, we thought we was Jordan. He went on a high school but dropped out of junior. I went on a college, he went on a shooter, he went on a juvie, I went on a tour. Hey, bicycle with the juice in the wheel. If you was a real dude, we wouldn't have to hit your key, prove it yourself, cause who really cares about what side of the block you're rapping? Yo, we're about to keep you separate. All on some to some weapons. That's why I'm walking like I'm welcome. Hey, Hennessy, but they'll buy that. Just pour it on the curb. We blinded like an iPad. See your boys in the hearse. Hey, where the west side at?
Welcome to the Tony Tennant Show by Partisan Voices of People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
That did work.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask questions. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Today, our topic is COVID-19. How dangerous is it to be a black or brown man in America? Same old game, nonsense by a different name. Wow, Pat, that was a... interesting topic you chose today.
I guess we can start with some opening comments. So this goes back to something we speak about often, is the cognitive dissonance when it comes to just seeing the last few videos we saw, right? We saw this week, we saw a young man in seventh grade get shot. We've seen a man with three people on his back get murdered in front of us all, and his character is on trial, not the flipping cop. And again, this is not, you know, don't be in your feelings. You know, I know some of y'all, again, I have friends, I definitely have friends that are cops that I've known since high school. And the one or two I was able to get in touch with in the last like month or so, they're not with that either. They didn't like it. I mean, this is beyond right or wrong. I mean, we literally have seen people get shot and murdered in our faces, and they're all, you know, black men.
Black men, and you know, just to put a, you know, I know you're a numbers person. These numbers are as of April the 16th. These are national numbers. Mm-hmm. Total number of gun violent deaths, all causes, in the United States, 12,416. 145 of those belong to the city of Philadelphia. Homicides, murder, unintentional, 5,420. Suicides, 6,996. Mm-hmm. Total number of injuries from guns, 9,768. If we look at the mass shootings, and we just had another one, recently with FedEx in Indianapolis, where 8 people lost their lives, 147 mass shootings as of April 16th, 2021. Mass murders, 11. Number of children killed from the age of 0 to 11, 87. Injured, 186. Number of teens from 12 to 17 killed, 314. Philadelphia's Youth murder rate and shooting is up by 40%. Injured, 762. That's 12 to 17. Officers involved incidents where a killing took place, 11. I'm sorry, 18. This is all these numbers are national from January 1st to April the 16th, 2021. Mm. Officer killed or injured, 93. Officer involved incident killed, 379. Subject suspect killed or injured, 269. You know, when you look at these numbers, you know, these numbers are crazy. You know, deaths, and just put this in perspective, everyone. You know, everyone wants to keep saying that because of COVID, because of COVID, because of COVID. According to the Gun Violence Archives, deaths in 2014 was 12,408. 2015, 13,537 in 2015. 2016, 15,679. 2018, 14,789. So when you look at these numbers and try to put them in perspective, COVID didn't start till the end of 2019, but yet everyone is trying to put all of these rise and these in because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's stop that. Let's stop this. This has been ongoing and on an uptick in some places since 2007. And if you don't want to believe me, you can go to gunviolencearchive.org and you will see the numbers are laid out in black and white on blue screen. You can look at this for yourselves. So when we have to really think about, you know, Pat's the numbers guy. We try to put everything in perspective. We have everybody out here jumping up and down, yelling about gun control, gun violence, a march over here, a march over there, folks calling for more money in the budgets around the country or for different types of new programs that need to be budgeted. But heck, what happened to the money that was given to these organizations that were in these budgets and the killing and the violence and the trauma continue to happen day in and day out?
Yeah, we're not done with these numbers.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, we're just looking at these numbers. We got unintentional shootings, 552. I didn't even go down to that. Murder suicides, 166.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
you know, we have to look at this, Pat. Mm-hmm. This is not something that just started at the beginning, at the end of 2019, mm-hmm. and came into being on April the 16th, 2021.
Yeah, but there needs to be an approach to deal with this disease or epidemic or whatever. But it has to be holistic with fidelity and understanding and empathy, right? There's definitely something wrong when life's dialogues, disagreements, or disparagements or disappointments lead to straight-up homicide or somebody feeling comfortable enough to pull a gun out and raise it towards another human being, and it's not in some type of defense of themselves or family or home, right? These incidents not only affect the lives of the shooter, but the victim, the lives of the parents, children, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, coaches, and the community at large, right? Mm-hmm. And the ripple effect presents the following challenges: financially, trauma, retaliation, victim shaming, which is really one of the worst ones.
Right.
Right? Oh, well, if that person was, and I get that. I get it. But, you know, There's a time and place for everything. But these few things that I brought, and children, right? Sometimes the loss of a parent can, you know, of an incarcerated parent can manifest, that behavior can manifest in their child. So these are the things that we don't really pay attention to. But I wanted to furthermore go, so I think this was back in 2016 or 17, the Center of Disease Control found more than 393 million guns in circulation in the United States.
That's repeat that number again.
339 million guns.
And so we're not talking about just handguns. We're talking about
just guns.
Guns, period. So long guns. Mm-hmm. Now, do those numbers include the numbers that I guess they would, that police officers, law enforcement, would they?
I think it was the grand total. So that's approximately 120 guns for every 100 people. That's really 1.2. That's not necessary.
Right.
Like, you know, also, according to the CDC, there was 1,500 firearm fatalities in Pennsylvania in 2016. 277 of them were in Philly. People shot was 1,146. 971 of them were black males.
Mm.
Right? 900 of them. And then to bring it more local, and this is from the FBI Uniform Crime Report. They didn't even let me pull the numbers for anything after 2018 because they're embarrassing. They should be. 2016, 277 people shot, 1,146. 971 were black males. 2017, 315 people, right, homicides. 1,075 people were shot, right? And 906 of them were black males. 2018, there was 353 homicides. Over 1,300 people shot. 944 of those victims were black males. 2019, 356 homicides. 2020, 499 homicides. 2021, so far, 149. And they didn't even let me pull those other numbers.
Mm. Yeah, and just as of April 15th, 2021, here in the city of Philadelphia, we are up 33% in homicides. We are at 146. But here's the problem, Pat, I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking the numbers first, as we should. But when our news medias and our elected officials and our news outlets and all, and our police departments around, here in Philadelphia, I can't speak for anyone else. When we start glorifying, oh, we're on course to be have 600 murders in the city of Philadelphia. You know, in a sense, that's like, okay, or we're going to continue till we get to 600.
Well, I mean, let's look at.
I mean, come on, that's real. Instead of talking about how many people we're going to be. What may be killed in the city of Philadelphia, the fourth largest city in these United States, the birthplace of these United States, you're sitting up here talking about 600, possibly 600 murders by the end of 2021, and it could be more.
I'm with you.
Unless we start really, you know, we got to really have serious conversations, not these pop and circumstance play-by-playbook things, because you got folks standing up here that are elected officials that want to be mayor of this city, want to rise to different office, want to do a whole heck of a lot more, you know, and now all of a sudden they are upset over murders.
Mm-hmm.
They are upset, but yet and still all they want to yell is more money, more money, and more money, but there is no transparency and no accountability of the money. That where's the money that came from the first stimulus that's still unaccounted for?
Sure.
Where is the money that the controller? We misplaced it on the wrong ledger.
That 33 million.
You know, 33 mm-hmm. million. Mm-hmm. Until we start having accountability and we stop giving these organizations the same old pop and circumstance, give them this money. You know, let's talk about. Yeah, I'm going to call him out. Let's talk about Kenyatta Johnson. Councilman, how the heck, every time there's you're standing before somebody, you just get two people coming out, a pal in your district, get shot with the cops standing there. These folks have no fear.
Hmm.
You know, let's, and then you're going to stand up, peace, not guns. Every time there is, you know, and then we have this so-called all hands on deck. How many murders have been solved since the announcement of all hands on deck? Let's talk about it. And now to be make it perfectly clear, if I was a white guy, like the young man that got killed that went to Temple, see how quickly that was solved. And look at where these murders are happening. Look at where their shootings are happening. And the police commissioner needs to stop saying call 911 and somebody will come. I've called 911 so many times, and they never come, but after the fact, or they come after the fact when everything is over with and everybody's gone. So don't get up there in these briefings and say what the cops are going to do, but in defense of the police. You can't keep saying, and to these wannabe media tycoons or whatever they are, you can't keep asking the same dumb question over and over again. First of all, to ask a question on what time will police be in front of a rec center, that's telling people, why would you want to, why, if they would never, strategically, they would never tell you a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm one of those guys that actually may listen to the news and I want to do something,
mm-hmm.
oh, I can go after. Here's what the deterrent is on rec centers. Brighter lights, illumination, city pay the bills so that lights can be fixed. And I said it. Pay the bills so the lights can be fixed, because I know for a fact, because I've spoken to one of your contractors, and we can't get a light fixed because you haven't paid the bill. Mm-hmm. That's one of the deterrents.
Yeah, but I want to, and again, this is not a shot at anybody, but this part here was really the alarming part. So there's two maps. There's one on the Inquirer. It's like a live map, and it talks about the different police districts. So the ones that were really alarming was...
And that's the Philadelphia Inquirer to our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the one that was really alarming was just looking at, I believe it was the 24th District, the 15th Police District. Those are next to the River Ward, so that's kind of like...
Which is South Philadelphia?
Not upper River Ward,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Upper River Ward, okay.
So like around Kensington, 24th is like around Kensington, 15th is kind of, I would say like Frankfurt-ish. And in those places, there was 148 shootings in 2020. And that was the 15th. In the 24th, there's 276 shootings. In the 25th, there was 222 shootings. That's North Philadelphia. In the 39th, which touches the area where I live, 174 shootings in 2020. The 22nd, there's 241 shootings. And then the 12th, which is southwest, kind of West Philly-ish.
That's southwest. They like to be known as southwest.
That's fine. 205 shootings, right?
But tell me something. Mm-hmm. Right there, you got, that's the 12th Police District.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the 18th Police District, which borders that?
It was 104 total shootings in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I'm bringing this up, all these areas seem to have the same thing.
Black and brown,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, and gentrification.
And think about it. It's mm-hmm. those shootings are beginning to be in a concentrated, just what you said,
mm-hmm.
a concentrated area mm-hmm. where there is gentrification going on. You know, you can't, and this is what happens. You know, the poverty, the gentrification, you know, they start running people out. You know, yes, there's no jobs. Yes, there's no good, sustainable jobs, you know. But at the end of the day, these folks that we elected or selected, as some people say, the only thing they are interested in is where do they go from here? Mm-hmm. You know, we have to begin to hold them accountable. We have, if you're going to throw good money after bad, then we've got to find out where that money's going. You know, all of these organizations that are out there, some are phenomenal. Some have started up, and here, folks, here you can find it out. If you don't, you can go to charitynavigator.org. You can go to guystar.org, or you go to other search engines, and you can look at what these charities, so-called charities, some of them so-called charities, look at their financial health. And you, we know that this money is awarded, but when you look at their financial health, mm-hmm. you don't see no accountability on their 990s. Mm-hmm. So you have to start really looking at what, how to make sure they are accountable, and stop giving this money to these folks that so they can go move down on Delaware Avenue. Well, they can't go to Lord and Taylor no more because Lord and Taylor's closed.
Well, I mean, those sections are kind of safe. I mean,
you know, no. I'm just saying these organizations in their heads where they are located.
Sure.
You know, the ones that are out here doing the work. And really, they're not, they don't get the funding, but they're getting the work done. They're trying to save one life at a time with the resources that they have. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is out of pocket. We have to stop. We have to stop giving awards and accolades to people who it's their job. Why do you continue to give elected officials and all these awards and all, these are their jobs.
My thing is, at least at the very least, live up to it. But we got to go to our first break. wow. Okay. So, yeah. Tone and Tether, bipartisan voices of the people. Today's topic is COVID-19, how dangerous it is to be a black or brown man in America. Same old game.
We haven't even talked about that yet.
Nonsense by a different name.
Line, I hope it's no comment so far. It's,
oh yes, I made it
alive. I wonder what size. Still in my mama's house. The kids on my conscience now, cause they keep dying. And it's just more common now. Coming round, stuck through it all like we coming low. Coming down, high over life, arrive under now. Summoning, I'm in the pain of when I'm in now. High school, my head in the clouds, like I learned about.
Oh yes, I made it alive. It's your drive. Get it to paradise. In this moment of mine, I can recognize. See that the glove is bright. I almost died, I doubt the water is red as mine.
Party. Did it in school with the church on the party. The audience hopefully ready and rowdy. I made it, I said it, you get it in writing. Got into a science program with the lightning. Like soil, I'm grounded, the seed is just sprouting.
Oh yes, I made it alive. It's your drive, hit it to paradise. In this moment of mine, I can recognize. See that the glove is bright. And what you got from my...
I know you haven't had a chance to address the tragedies in Georgia and Colorado, you had said to stay tuned for actions that you might take on gun control. Wondering if you've made a decision either about sending the manufacturer liability bill that you had promised on day one to Capitol Hill, or executive actions like going after ghost guns or giving money to cities and states to battle gun control.
All the above. It's a matter of timing. As you've all observed, successful presidents better than me have been successful in large part because they know how to time what they're doing, order it, decide in priorities what needs to be done. The next major initiative is, and I'll be announcing it Friday in Pittsburgh in detail, is to rebuild the infrastructure both.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. You just heard the clip from the first press conference that President Joe Biden did. And the question, we put that in there because if you listen to what he said when the reporter asked the question about gun violence, he said priorities. The next priority will be infrastructure. It basically, and I'm not going to attack the president, but he made it sound like that the gun violence and the mass shooting, in my opinion, were not a priority. But on April 7th, on 2021, Biden-Harris administration announced initial actions to address the gun violence public health epidemic. Public health epidemic. He called it the public health epidemic. The Biden-Harris administration is announcing six initial actions to address the gun violence public health epidemic. The recent high-profile mass shootings in Boulder taking the lives of 10 individuals and Atlanta taking the lives of 8 individuals, including 6 Asian-American women, underscore the relentlessness of this epidemic. So it takes mass shootings, more than one person to being killed, to make a move to start to address the killings in the United States.
Listen, kid shootings in Philadelphia are up 18%. So when is a good time? When is a good time? I mean, we have a friend who has lost her son. Her son will never get to show his son how to ride. My father showed me how to ride a bike, right? Again, me and him never saw. When I was a teen, we didn't always see eye to eye, but this is stuff I remember. I remember my father taking us to Coney Island. I remember him bringing me to Sheep's Head Bay. And it was an orange mountain bike, right? So people are robbing people of these experiences. Like, this is utter, complete nonsense. I mean, we have resolutions for flipping streets and naming streets. Like, It's not important. Like, I mean, literally.
The lives of people are important. And again, you know, we just had here in the city of Philadelphia, we had the city council hold a dog and pony show at an organization, NOMO. Hats off to NOMO, who does great
work. They actually do the work.
But again, all the city council was standing up there yelling. You had Councilman Jones talk about during Ramadan, he's going to pray. Well,
how's that been working out? Huh, Randall? How has praying worked? How's that worked out? I don't care if, and y'all can take this however y'all want. Jesus, Jew, Gentile, Muslim, whatever. How has praying worked out for us?
Well, it was several killings right after that.
Oh, okay.
All right. We have Sherelle Parker, who wants to run for mayor.
Where were these places at, though?
These people were not saying a word until the shooting started in their districts.
Yeah, just like when David O got, and it's not a shot at David, because we like him, but like, they didn't do anything about violence until David got stabbed on his way home.
And still, that was just a fluffing stuff. Come on, people, we've got people out here. First of all, let's stop the marching. Let's stop the rallies. Let's take and go and sit in a room, the young, the old, the ex-offenders, and really put a map. Stop this agenda. Oh, I've got an agenda for this. But we need money for this.
No, pass a law. Pass
a law. Get the money. Find the money that's still out there. You can get, the city can lose $112 million on tax abatement. So the schools are short $112 million. And you're sitting here waiting for what the next money comes from.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. So while the money's short in schools, right? But the top, and I'll give you the top five executives at Philadelphia Public Schools would hide at the top of the food chain, $317,000.
But more than the mayor. And when asked why that had to be that amount of money had to be paid because we have to attract the best possible people.
He wasn't good where he came from.
Oh, heck no.
He wasn't good where
he came
from.
Come on now.
That's nonsense. It's nonsense.
People stop falling for the okie doke.
Yeah. No, I mean.
We have, what is it, 14, 17 council people and 14 are brown? Brown?
I guess in color. It may be in color.
14 are?
Not in stature. But I mean, again, look where their money's coming from. Open Secrets.
Follow the money. OpenSecrets.org. These are not, this is not, you know, all, it's all, you can sit out there and cry and jump up and down. But if you don't know where the money's coming from, where, and the facts and the numbers, you're only listening to what the folks, do your own research. Because you're not going to get it from the only black radio station here in the state of Pennsylvania. You're not going to get it from the Tribune. You're not going to get it from the Sun. You're not going to get it because you got to remember, you've got to do the research. The inquiry is not going. Think about this, people. Let's just really think about it. How many folks are going to go and say something negative about somebody they endorse for running for office? Yeah. Think about it.
Or somebody in their back pocket.
Think about it. You know, think about all these judges that will control your life. You're not hearing a word about these judges.
No. Absolutely not.
You're hearing about Krasner versus Vargas, Vegas, for DA. But how the heck can you hold a debate without all those candidates are running? You know, yes, the Republican, Democrat turned Republican Charles A. Peruto is running as a Republican, but it's rumored that if present DA Larry Krasner loses to Vegas, he may step out of the race. So what happens? There is no choice. But yet and still, the president and everybody can talk about, we live in a democracy and we can talk about every other country and what they're doing wrong, but we live in a place where folks suppress the vote. I said it. We suppress the vote by kicking people off of ballots, parties searching for this. Don't get me wrong. You got to do what's right to play the game. Make sure your paperwork's right. Make sure your signature's right. But if I'm the little man in the game, I don't have the money to fight these big organizations. So they get the folks out.
Just like folks got on Facebook talking about ward systems. All of a sudden, the light bulb went on, Pat. All of a sudden, the light bulb went on to some of these Philadelphians and these Pennsylvanians that we have a broke ward system or a ward system that is managed by elected officials.
Yeah. No, you've said that.
I've said it 7 years. We've been here April 26, 7 years. Finally, folks in this city, some of you, realize in this state that we have a broke, but what are we going to do about it? What are the elected officials that look like you going to do about it? How many are going to go up to Harrisburg, and that's the state capital of Pennsylvania, and challenge this or try to put changes in? Now, let's not, we supposed to be talking about black men and guns, and you know, when you go out in your car at night now, Pat, you have to look around and make sure whether a cop stops you or somebody pulls up on you. Or even, yeah.
Or even if you're in the car.
Somebody shooting across at you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but yet and still, I'm going to say this too. We have an elected official in Harrisburg that had gun charges before he was elected. And now he wants to be the gun guru?
Something like that.
And writing articles? But certain things, it may be a rumor, but if it's a rumor, it's all over City Hall in Harrisburg and in the streets of Philadelphia. Come clean. And if this was squashed, that's not setting an example for gun reform.
Yeah, I mean, how did that work on the federal level against the war against drugs? Like, how did that work? Like, this is the thing. Like, those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it, and those who do not prepare for war in times of peace cry during tragedy. Right. Hmm. So my thing is, everything is not always a jump up and down or a session where we have to have a pastor come and talk our heads off for 2 or 3 hours. And don't get me wrong. I think the pastor that was at the MSB building, I think he's a wonderful speaker. He's a dynamic speaker. But it's not the time or place, right? We need to hear from the people on the ground that are doing... Hold on. We need to hear from the people on the ground that are doing the work, right? And we need statistics on where to go, right? The quickest way to do that is by looking at the places where poverty is. Right now, it was 4-0, right? I said this a couple months ago. The poorest zip code now is 19133.
Well, think about it. I'm going to put it out there. You're talking about, you know, here in Philadelphia, and every major city has a area that they actually was predominantly black or had a name for it.
Sure.
You know, here in Philadelphia, we had what was known as the Black Bottom. Well, the Black Bottom was predominantly black, and now... You know, it's funny because the school that was in the Black Bottom, the University City High School, has been torn down, belongs now to Drexel. Now you have different areas called Mantua, Powhatan Village, West Powhatan Village, and you have development going on. And if you go through that area now, There are just pockets. And this is what happens, Pat. You know, they find an area and the pockets. And then what happens is the elders that are in those areas that own those homes have to succumb to either a senior home, nursing home, or something, because they can't afford to maintain the taxes. Remember, you're giving these other folks that come in here 10-year tax abatements when these folks were paying their taxes. So now we go into other areas. I mean, you have the one side of a district of a council person, you know, that well-kept, the lighter hue, high 5 to 6 figure salaries, you know, and... no affordable housing, well-manicured parks, and you go to the other side of a district, people trying to maintain, city doesn't know whether they own this property, or Parks and Rec that owns the property, and it's all over the city. Again, this is not facts. This is not fiction. This is facts, because we've experienced it. I've experienced it as a West Philadelphia resident all my life, going to school in what was known as the Black Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, if folks know history, 33rd and Powelton, there was a move. That was the move. They call it a compound then. That's where that gentrification started, right there,
mm-hmm.
in that area, and started moving forward, moving up.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We look at this stuff. I mean, we're not here telling you, and this is not for entertainment for us. This is to, as one person said, is to educate, to provide you with the information necessary to understand what is really going on.
Yeah. With that said, real quick, I want to...
You want to take this break and then come back?
Yeah, I'm gonna throw the top 10, because again, this is so important because there's a direct correlation between the two, and it's not for debate. The top 10 poorest zip codes in Philadelphia, ranging from 51% poverty to probably like 25% poverty, is 19133, 2122, 40, 3432, 04, 23, 39, and 46, rounding out the top 10.
You mean to tell me 39? I live in 39, and there's a house right now in a row house going for $2.5 million.
Yeah.
A row house?
26% poverty.
So, you know, that's that pocket.
Yeah.
That's that pocket we're talking about.
Yep. Listen to me now. Believe me later. We're going to our next break. Tone and tenor, bipartisan voices of the people. Today's topic, how dangerous is it to be black or brown in America? Same old game, nonsense by a different name.
See, to live is to suffer. But to survive, well, that's to find meaning in the suffering.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear shit. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear shit. I've been through mad different things.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our topic today is, it's such a long topic, how COVID-19, how dangerous is it to be black and brown man in America? Same old game, nonsense by a different name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different name. You know, black and brown men in America have been targeted for a long time.
And speaking of black and brown men, real quick, I wanted to acknowledge, you know, the death of DMX, you know, the rapper. You know, I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but definitely look him up. Definitely part of my childhood, me and my brother Stan.
I'm too young to know that.
That was one of my brother's favorite rappers, so definitely acknowledging him. And also, real quick, former officer Carol Horn, who actually was fired 15 years ago for saving a black man's life when he was in a chokehold by her partner.
And she's going to receive all of her back pay.
Yeah, well, we're going to definitely talk about that on one of the upcoming shows, but I definitely wanted to acknowledge her because, again, like I said, right now we don't think all folks are bad, but for all of y'all that stand by and watch things like that, 9 minutes and 26 seconds, of a murder, you get lumped in whether you like it or not, which is why a lot of cops have stepped in. Even the situation with the young teenager that got shoved by the soon-to-be Army veteran, they're probably gonna retire him early, out in was that South Carolina? You know, like I said, same old game. And we again, the black folks, we've been telling y'all this for years. You know. My first encounter with a police officer, was 11 years old with a Glock in my face at in the evening. I'll never forget 2nd Street and 5th Avenue. Right, is a day in my life that will live in infamy, because if one of those police officers pulled the trigger, I would not be here. Mm. Right. That's why, you know, this is, you know, like, what was that thing in New Jack City? It's not business personal. Yeah, it's personal. It is. And again,
you know, I don't think there's a black man in America at some point in time has not had an encounter with some type of law enforcement officer, whether it be stopped by a state trooper, whether it be stopped by a police officer, whether it be stopped by or stopped. Look, I got picked up. I'll tell you, I got picked up in West Philadelphia when I was a kid for allegedly stealing a TV on a yellow bike. I was talking to someone. I was sitting on the corner talking to a friend of mine, and I had a yellow Schwinn bike. Mm. They took me and the bike to 55th of Pine. Mm. And, you know, that was, you know, a lesson learned on two fronts for me, because my father always said, make sure I had my ID. Mm-hmm. And I went out the house without any ID. Mm. So as a lesson, he left me over at 55th of Pine until he finished his meeting, you know, to come over there.
That's old school.
But my friend actually went to my house, mm-hmm, and told him. Now, I allegedly, this is the person, it wasn't me, mm-hmm, stole a TV from a TV repair shop on Baltimore Avenue, mm-hmm, and I was at 50th and Walnut. Mm-hmm. Now, how can you get, you know, back in the day, you had them big old tube TVs.
Yeah, this is like,
and trying to ride it on a 10-speed bike.
That's not going to happen.
You're not going to make it.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it wasn't for nosy neighbors, Randall, like, people literally, my family came around the corner because they were like, hey, Pat is jammed up out there. You know, they literally, like, the young lady, she didn't understand. She didn't realize
that. That's one of the things, mm-hmm, we have to remember, Pat. You know, as I wrote, how could people get involved? The nosy neighbor, you know, back then, the nosy neighbor would say something. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, you've got the street rule, no snitching. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about snitching, people. It's about saving lives.
Yeah.
You know, allegedly, they say you can call in anonymously and drop the tip. Do it. You know, take back, because if you don't do it and take back your neighborhood, or you allow your neighborhood to go, mm-hmm, you'll start to see a change in your neighborhood, and you're going to look and you're going to try to figure out where do you go from here. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things, you know, and we have to give props to some of the folks that, you know, keep us informed here. You know, recently, Pennsylvania Senior Senator Robert Casey was on the show, and he told us about the gun task force, and that was even prior to the president's announcement, and you heard the announcement, okay, and what priority.
Or the one in Southwest.
You know, the priority.
That was a day late and a dollar short.
But, you know, right now, what can we do? We need to go out there and we need to support Senate Bill 556. It's the Resources for Victims of Gun Violence Act of 2021. Right now, it's in the, it's been read twice. And it has been referred to the Judiciary Committee. It has 18 co-sponsors, and it's out there. And this is what Pat referred to earlier, that people that are traumatized, as a senator, you can go back and listen to that show. This would help those folks that were victims of gun violence, you know, that may need a ramp to the house, may need have health issues from a wheelchair, you know, that has been injured. You know, and this was also the House bill by Congressman Dwight Evans, he actually sponsored the bill on the House side.
Congressional side, yeah.
The congressional side.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to look at these. There's a lot of bills out there that are sitting in committee. The Risk Protection Order and Violence Protection Act of 2021, H.R. 1446, Enhanced Background Act of 2021. You know, what happens is, folks, we don't hear about these things. When we hear about them, we're going into the next Congress. So what happens is, even in the state, when these bills don't make it to the floor or even to a vote, that they maybe...
When they die even before committee.
Or they die in committee.
Before committee.
Yeah, before committee. We don't know about it. We need to look at these bills and all the things, because think about it. When at the end of the day, all this money that our municipalities and our states are asking for has to come from somewhere. Mm. And it's going to come from the federal government.
Yeah, and with that, so to that point, keep in mind your city budget, right, has gone from, because I remember when I worked for the city, I think the city budget was like $3 million, 3.5. The city budget is now, what, $5 billion? $5 billion? And the state budget is somewhere between, I believe, $36 and $38 billion. Just to give you a reference point.
Again, when you look at this, but during this pandemic, everyone, each and every one of those elected officials and staff, the elected officials are making here in this city six figures. They were paid. And remember, Philadelphia is a county and a city.
With no county executive.
With no county executive.
Or county council.
Right. And some of these folks were being paid and they were hanging out at the zoo in Elmwood. Social media people. You know, but we have to take hold of some of this ourselves and stop yelling and screaming. The rally's all well, but we need to start looking at these numbers. If we're going to yell, let's talk about go support Senate Bill 190. You know, let's go support H.R. 111. Let's go support H.R. 1006, Gun Show Loophole Closing Act. You think about it. A lot of these guns that are on the street come from gun shows. Mm-hmm. Come from gun shows.
Yeah, but again, it's not just the guns, man. It's the people, too. Like, and that's the other part that I think that people really forget. You know, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Right. And that's the other side of this, Pat. And, you know, we've got to get a handle on it. People have to become more in tune to their neighborhoods. They have to learn to respect one another again, you know, and they have to, you know, because right now there's no respect for law enforcement. There's very little respect for elected officials because there's a broken judicial system, because now you got folks that's going to legislate from the bench. Because they are now, you know, bragging every day who's endorsing them, what elected officials, what PAC, what group, you know, and then at the end of the day, what's going to happen if and when these folks become judges? You know, if we're going to have real conversations, let's turn off the lights, meaning the press cameras, let's turn off the volume, and have real conversations like they used to do in Washington, D.C. in the ante room, where once they locked that door, no one came out until they agreed. Even though they disagreed on a lot, they agreed on some solutions that would work. And that's what we need to do going forward in these United States and this city and in this state.
Yeah, or you can get out the way. That's what you can do. You can do that too.
But half of them don't want to get out the way because they're vying for higher office.
I understand that, but there's two types of people. You're either on your way or you're in the way. We want to thank our guests, our listeners, our followers, to see more of us on social media. Check us out on Twitter at Tone and Tenor, on Instagram at Tone and Tenor Radio, to find us on Facebook. Just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor, all one word, to find our page. And please look out for us. We do have an event coming up in Norristown sometime. Our studio engineer today was Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Matt.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, bipartisan voice of the people, talk radio show here in WWDB 860 AM out of Philadelphia. And look for those bills. We will post them so that you can do your own research. And thank you to Senator Casey and to Congressman Dwight Evans.
Their time's limited, hard rocks too. So listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo. Go for yours, cause dreams come true.
And you'll make your mommy
so proud of you too.
And this is the message
that the ruler Rick drew, and it's true.
You know what?